There you go. Well, good morning, guys. I'm glad that you all are here today. I want to tell you that, man, the Lord has really been preparing my heart for this message. And he woke me up in the morning. It was Monday morning. And he just said, Caleb, the peace is going to go with you this week. And I needed to hear that because there was going to be some detours, some distractions, and some different things that were going to come up that if it wasn't for the Lord to show up this week, that I could rely on the peace of Jesus, that it just wasn't going to happen for me this week. And so I come in here with a really heavy heart. And just a few moments ago, Daisy was in the back. She took my hand. She came over. She's like, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you in Spanish. Now, I don't understand Spanish. But I understood Jesus and thank you. And that's all I needed to. And so as she's praying, I'm just saying, thank you, Jesus, whatever she's saying, thank you, Jesus. She could have said, curse this guy. Thank you, Jesus. No, she would definitely not do that. But I thank you guys for your love, and I thank you for your encouragement, praying for me and just praying for today, because I do believe that I get to brag upon our King Jesus today. I get to boast about King Jesus today, because there's nothing special about me. If God didn't prepare my heart, then I'm just wasting your time this morning. I'm just speaking words, and I'm not speaking truth that's going to penetrate the heart that will lead to transformation, just more information, and we don't need any more of that. I want to tell you that today this church and all churches across the world desperately need to hear the word of Jesus Christ. There are so many voices that are going on today that we desperately need to hear from Jesus. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So we're going to start off here in Psalms 143:8. And you can just look up on the board and it says, if you wake me each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I will go to sleep each night trusting you. Point out the road I must travel. I am all ears, all eyes are before you. Today I am going to be talking to you about the reviving voice of Jesus Christ. The reviving voice that wakes a spirit up inside of us that not anyone, not myself, can do. Or program-wise, we need the voice of Jesus Christ. I have titled this message, Wake Up Call. Lean to your neighbor, say, wake up, it's time to listen. Text somebody, say, wake up, come to church. Let me pray, and we're going to get started. We're going to take a moment of prayer, too, because we really just need Jesus. If you will, just open up your hands this morning. Open up your hands. I pray with great desperation, Lord Jesus. Put me behind you. Go before us. Lead us. Open up our ears today and our hearts today, that you will revive us today. And not only just revive, that we will respond to when we hear your voice. Today, Lord, I believe I've been sitting here to speak because I feel that there is a powerful word that you want to speak to somebody here today. And I believe that your presence is here right now. We desperately need you more than anything else. And so, Lord, right now, we invite you in here to speak your powerful words. Use this frail, weak human that I am to deliver it, Father. Give me strength today that I don't have. Father, give me focus with the distractions that are in my mind. Make my heart desperate to hear from you as I preach so I can deliver what people need to hear, Father. So speak to us today, Lord. Speak to us in a way that we know it's your voice. It is in Christ Jesus' name I pray today. Amen. How many of you guys are selective hearing? Every hand, guy saying, Tom's got two hands raised back there. Yeah, there you go. We got double hands. I got double fist in the air. I am a selective hearing person. And I will tell you, it definitely gets me in trouble from time to time. And let me tell you, recently, a couple months ago, my wife had a long day at school. She had meetings. She had all this kind of stuff going on, and she was going to go from her place in South Riding where her school is, and she had meetings, and she had to get by out to Reston. But thankfully, her favorite restaurant is out by Reston called Vapiano's. You've never been there. Check it out. And so she calls me when she's there, and she's like, hey, I'm getting something from Vapiano's. Would you like to get something? I'm like, no, I'm trying not to work on my dad bod. And I was like, no more of those carbs. And so anyway, she brings it home, and it's getting kind of late, and she opens up her dinner, and she starts eating. And I take a phone call. I think I'm talking to my mom at this time, and I'm in the kitchen, and Julie walks right into the kitchen, and she says something to me, and I thought she said, hey, go ahead and have my leftovers. Well, you know where this is going. So anyway, of course, I hang up. I didn't really pay attention to her, which is usually the first problem, right? That's like marriage 101. Listen to your wife, right? Well, anyway, it was selectively, I heard what I wanted to hear. I don't know if you guys ever do that, but I was hearing what I wanted to hear was go ahead and eat the leftovers. And so anyway, the next morning, about 6:30 a.m., I hear a loud door shut, and I hear my wife yelling. And granted, she's not a yeller, but this is a pregnant Julie. I've been warned. But anyway, all of a sudden, I hear pregnant Julie running up our hardwood step. And all of a sudden, I shoot up out of bed. I am wide awake now, and I see tentacles coming around into the room. I see fangs coming into the room. And my wife comes around the room and says, "You ate my food." I said, "Don't eat my lunch. This is my lunch for tomorrow. Why did you eat my lunch?" And I'm like, "I thought you, you know." And she was clearly upset. She slammed the door. She goes running back downstairs. And then she calls me, and she is so upset on her way to school. She's like, "Why did you eat my lunch?" I go, "I don't know. I thought you said eat my lunch." Now, granted, she probably could have waited till I was off the phone, but we won't talk about that. Oh. Or I could have been polite, right, and been like, "Yes, dear, what do you need?" Right, right. There we go. Everyone was saying yes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Should get a little remark from them. But I did eat her lunch, and I think sometimes, what did Eve think? When she's like, "Oh yeah, I thought I heard from the Lord, but I didn't. I heard from something that sounded like the Lord and said, go ahead and eat that. You'll be as powerful as the Lord." But I do believe that it is so easy sometimes to miss the voice of Jesus if we don't tune in, if we don't tune our ear, if we don't hear Jesus through the static of what's going on in our lives. It is so easy to miss the voice of Jesus. If you will, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today. And if you turn into your Bible, or if you even want to look up top here, we'll be in Mark chapter 5, which is a great story here that talks about this. And it starts in Mark 5:21 is where we're going to kick it off. I don't know if it's up there yet or not. But it says that when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd, everybody say crowd, gathered around him while he was by the lake. Now let me set up the story here. Jesus had just come across the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd had just arrived. They were like waiting and anticipating on his arrival. Jesus is very comfortable in crowds. He spent 3.5 years of his life ministering in large crowds. Crowds. We live in a very crowded world, don't we? We have very crowded lives. We have crowded schedules. We have crowded minds. We have crowded commutes. And there's going to be times in our life that a lot of us will say, "Well, I can't wait till this time when I can get a little bit alone. I can get a little bit of a time away so I can just hear from the Lord." You imagine how tough it would have been in such a large crowd to hear from Jesus when they didn't have a microphone and they didn't have these big amphitheaters. But typically what Jesus would do is he would speak against like the water, and the water would help amplify so people could hear his voice. Can we pick Jesus' voice out in a large crowd? Because a lot of us say that, "Yeah, if I can just get a moment away," and that's what you have in our busy lives, only moments, right? Liz and I talk about that all the time. It's like we only have moments. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus wants to join you in your crowded life. He wants to join you in your crowded spaces and in your crowded mind, because we're going to be living in a crowded world, and we need to be able to distinguish the voice of Jesus through our crowded lives. Amen? But it is really tough, right? It is sometimes really hard. But what does Jesus remind us? That the sheep know my voice, and they respond, doesn't he? So we got to tune our ear in verse 21, because Jesus is trying to speak, and I believe he's trying to speak today. He wants to speak to some of us today, and we've got to tune in to hearing what he is saying at this moment. So he joins us in the crowd, and the reason why he wants to join us in the crowd is point number one. This point is for somebody in here, that Jesus' voice wants to revive your relationship with him. The voice of Jesus today, and I'm speaking to somebody in here that has been wandering in their faith, that the voice of Jesus is longing, he's coming out, he's coming to you, and he's always initiating, he's joining you in your crowd and in your doubt and whatever direction you're going, that Jesus wants to revive a relationship with somebody here today. Somebody help me preach this with an amen. He joins us. Our number one important thing that we have is our relationship with Jesus. It's not about all the stuff that we do for Jesus. It starts with our relationship with Jesus. See, there's a lot of information about Jesus, but it's more important that we have a relationship with Jesus. When I was in high school, I was in study hall, and so study hall for me was not a time to catch up on my homework. It was a time for me to catch up on some sleep. And I looked across the table, and my friend Jason is opening up. He's got some pictures out there, and he's drawing stuff. And I said, Jason, what are you drawing? He said, I'm drawing roller coasters. I'm like, you can draw those things? He's drawing all kinds of diagrams of roller coasters. And he starts to tell me about this roller coaster that's really awesome. It's at Cedar Point in Ohio, the best like roller coaster park there is. And he's drawing all these pictures. He pulls out a pamphlet, and he's telling me all about the G-forces, and he's telling me about all the turns. And the reason why is because he wants to be like a roller coaster expert or an engineer of some sort. And so I say, wow, you know a lot about this, but have you ridden it? He's like, no. So you've never experienced it. He's like, no. And I think that there's a lot of times that we can know a lot about Jesus, but never really experience the love of Jesus in our life. There's a lot of people out there today that have an idea of who Jesus is just because they've seen Christians that say they're Christians walk out. And then they have some ideas of Jesus, but we desperately need to have a relationship with Jesus. We can't just have a reading relationship of all kinds of information, because information is just sticks right here. But the words of Jesus are supposed to get to our heart so we can live a transformed life with Jesus, that we can wake up every single morning and feel the presence of Jesus. And then when we wake up, just like I woke up Monday morning, I know a lot of us wake up and our first thoughts are probably, what do I have to do, where do I got to be, and who do I got to help, right? My first thoughts, and I thank you so much that Jesus dropped a thought right in my head. He's like, the peace is going to go before you. And that's the Lord wanting to speak to us every single day in the crowds of our lives. But we can't just rely on information. Information will dry you up. I recently read about a seminary professor who had been years and years, Dr. So-and-so, multiple doctors, been teaching and training students on how to do the ministry. And he said, I never taught students how to have a relationship with Jesus. And he said, I'm now dried up spiritually because I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I just have information about him, and I can tell you how to do the ministry, but I can't tell you how to have a relationship with Jesus. And we desperately got to have a relationship with Jesus. He is our King, amen. He is our King. And so it goes into verse 22. I know, man, we're going to be here for a while. Verse 22, and it says, one day a synagogue leader named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Now, Jairus was a synagogue leader. That means that he was a man of influence. He was a man of affluence. He had power. He had money. And he has the money to take his dying daughter to the best physicians on the planet. But he knows the greatest physician just showed up at the shore. And he's got to figure out how to get through the crowd because Jesus is here. We got to recognize when we need to take our spiritual walk to Jesus. We got to know when we need to take our finances to Jesus. We got to know when we need to take our health and our desperate situations to Jesus, amen. Because sometimes we go to all kinds of different things, opinions and ideas and all these kind of things, and we forget about first going to Jesus. He goes straight to Jesus. And it says this, please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. So Jesus went with her. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. This is so interesting. This high leader, and you notice what he did first before he started making a command. He fell at the feet of Jesus and just opened up his hands and said, Jesus, I need you. We can learn a lot from Jairus in his response that he opens up his hands and says, Jesus, I need you. And then he starts to pray to Jesus. See, God wants to speak to us today, one, through the Bible, because that's his written word. But then he also wants to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives us, or God gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us unlock truth, and it helps us to unlock how do we apply Scripture to our life. Holy Spirit guides and directs us. So number two, this is for somebody that God wants to revive your direction. God wants to revive our direction. Have you ever been going in a direction and you're like, man, I thought Jesus, okay, we're going. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on? God wants to revive our direction in Jesus. Jesus says, I am going with you. But notice that this guy is a ruler. He's used to being in lead. This guy is a ruler. He's used to like being at the head of the executive table. He's used to making like statements and stuff, and people follow him. He's in the man of command. But Jesus is actually in control. He's in control, not this guy. Jesus says, yeah, I'm going with you, but I'm in control and I'm leading. And while he is leading, he experiences something a lot of us have experienced in our faith journey. It's detours, right? Sometimes distractions from things. Sometimes even delays. You're like going along and you're following Jesus. And you're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Oh, whoa, why is this going so slow? But Jesus wants to speak to us. He speaks through the Holy Spirit. He also speaks to us through our prayer life. Is that as we're going along, sometimes there is delays and distractions, and we see this happening in verse 25, and a woman says this, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Came to Jesus. She spent all of her money and all of her time meeting all kinds of physicians, and she's actually gotten worse. But as she sees Jesus and Jairus go in, she kind of moves through the crowd and she grabs his robe. She touches his robe, and the Bible says immediately she was healed. And when she said immediately she was healed, verse 30, it says, once Jesus realized that his power had gone from him, he turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? Which is a funny kind of statement, because his disciples are like, what do you mean? There's thousands of people crowded all around you. Everybody's touching you. Everybody wants a selfie with you right now. But why? Who touched my clothes? And if I'm Jairus, you know what I would be doing? I'd be going, come on, Jesus, why'd you stop? We got places to be. I'm important, more important than this lady. My daughter's dying. I need you to hurry up. What's going on? Why the delay? You know why? Because that's how I would respond. Because that's how I typically respond when I'm trying to wait on Jesus, is I lose my patience. 2 weeks ago, two Saturdays ago, we had our baby shower here. And I want to thank all the women and men that came out here to hang out, and my students here that came out and just blessed Julie and I. We are so blessed that, you know, in a few months that we're going to have a daughter, and we're excited to introduce her to you guys, and we're excited to meet her and all that kind of stuff. But you guys really blessed her with some great stuff. We're stocked up. And thank you guys for doing that again. So between all the little cute jeans and my wife's jeans, we're going to have the cutest girl in Round Hill. And I want to tell you this, because here's what happens a lot of times, is that if I'm like Jairus, and typically I am in life, I'm saying this, Jesus, you need to catch up. Where are you, Jesus? Hurry up. I got problems. I got bills. My relationship with my wife is rough. I don't know where my direction. I need you to make this decision for me. Please text me back, Jesus, because you need to catch up right now. Please, Jesus, just catch up. The world is going crazy. It's going fast. Why are you so slow, Jesus? And that day, our event started at 1:00. And I was so frustrated because my dad was going so slow. Liz was telling me, are you guys going to show up? Like, maybe tomorrow. Like, Dad, why are you going so slow? He's following me from my house. It's a 45-minute, and we get here right on time. Jesus always arrives right on time. Yeah. Amen. He arrives right on time. See, Jesus is not behind our bills. He's not behind our problems. He's actually with our problems, and he's ahead of our problems. So we don't need Jesus to catch up to our problems. We need to catch up to where Jesus is at. He's already there. So we need to catch up to where Jesus is at. The closer you are to Jesus, the less pressure you feel from the crowd. So you got to catch up to Jesus. Catch up to where he is going, because he's already spoken. And he's already spoken in Jairus' situation. And he's going to be there, and he always shows up on time. So here's what happens. Let me get to my page here. Jairus does something that I don't do. Wait patiently on the Lord. How many people are patient in here? All right, no hand goes up. Right. We're not conditioned to be patient. But when we make a plea to the Lord in prayer, God wants to develop our patience too. We got to wait upon the Lord. Over and over, God wants us to wait upon him before we make decisions. Before we go ahead and make that decision, that quick thing that we need to deal with, God wants us to wait upon him And you're going to see exactly what he does here. In verse 35, it says that while Jesus was still speaking, some people came to the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and they make this proclamation, "Your daughter is dead." They said, "Why bother, teacher, anymore? Not today, Jesus. It's over, Jesus. You were too late, Jesus. You allowed yourself to get distracted, Jesus. You delayed, Jesus. I thought you were going with me, Jesus, but now you're just kind of sitting here, Jesus, and you're not showing up when I thought you would show up." But Jesus has the final say, doesn't he? He's got the final say to say whatever lives and dies. He's got the final say, and he's a good God. And then it says that when Jesus overheard this, they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, but just believe." Jairus was playing this game that we play in youth called Two Truths and a Lie. You guys ever played that game? You know what it's like? It's like everybody goes around the room, and they tell two truths about themselves, and they say one lie, and you got to go around and decide which one is the lie. Well, that's the situation he's in too. The two truths is, yes, his daughter's dead, but yes, Jesus is on the scene. And then the lie that's easy for us to buy into is that Jesus don't care and that Jesus won't do this. Jesus won't help. And it's easy for us to buy into something like that. But Jesus says what? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. So point number three I want to tell somebody in here is that Jesus' voice revives a spirit of peace. Today, somebody, whatever's going on in your life, that God wants to revive a spirit of peace in your life. The voice of peace. The Bible is characterized when you talk about Jesus, he is a voice of peace. And he comes and he rushes and he gives us a inner spirit of peace. And that hell could be breaking on around you, but all of a sudden you just feel a peace in the midst of your crowded life. And he is the voice of peace. Have you ever been around somebody that's just got a spirit of peace? You may be in chaos, but you know that person. You're like, "I'm going to go to that person because for some reason when I go to that person, I just feel better." There is a spirit of peace that God wants us to have. And if you've been around people that got a spirit of peace, or what about a spirit of joy? You ever been to somebody around a spirit of joy? For some reason, they're just always so joyful. You ever been around somebody that's just got this great spirit of faith and just always encouraging? Those are great people to be around. Those kind of voices. It's going to be okay. You need those voices in our life. But sometimes, you know, there's other voices or another spirit, like a spirit like of religion. The Pharisees dealt with that, a spirit of control and religion. The church of Galatians dealt with a spirit of legalism. It wasn't Christ alone. It was Christ plus everything else you had to do before God found you appropriate or found you, he received you. But we need the spirit and the peace of Jesus in our lives. Would you say that other people would characterize you as a peace, a spirit of peace is around you? When you go to work and your neighbors and your family and your kids see you, would they say that, yeah, there's a spirit of peace. There is something different about that person. They may be in the midst of chaos, but for some reason, there is a spirit of peace about that person. And that is God. God uses a spirit of peace. And you know that here's what's going to happen, is that sometimes God also speaks. He speaks through the Bible, he speaks through the Holy Spirit. He speaks through our circumstances too. He speaks through the circumstances that we go through, because God wants to be with us in the pit. He wants to be with us in the wherever that place Daniel was at, in the fire. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all in the fire. He wants to be there with you in those circumstances, because he's growing our faith through those circumstances to trust into Jesus. And so that is the peace of Jesus. Do we have that peace in our life right now? 37 says, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. And when they came home to the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and he said, "Why is all the commotion and wailing? This child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at Jesus. They laughed at Jesus. You know how many competing voices we have today? You know how many competing voices that we deal with every single day, whether it's the competing voice of "I'm not good enough," or "they're not good enough," or "they'll never be," or "this church will never be," or the competing voices of saying, like, "I have anxiety and there's nothing I'm going to be able to do about it." There's so many competing voices when God is trying to speak that want to make fun of Jesus. You know, there's competing voices in our culture today that says Jesus' word is no longer relevant. He needs to catch up to the times. We need to get a little bit more relevant in the Bible. even people think that Jesus isn't relevant, and they are making fun of Jesus at this point. And you know these people are? They're just hired criers. That was what they did back in the day. That was customary, is that they would literally hire people to cry and to mourn. And I'm like, my goodness, I see a lot of people that are crying and mourning and aren't getting paid for it. Sometimes they're in the church. Not trying to start anything, because that's not this church. This is another church. I've been to those churches. Not this church.
That's why we're here.
That's right. That's why we are here. But sometimes those voices are voices of our opportunity. They say, this is a good opportunity. Why don't you invest into this? Why don't you take that position? You'll never be around your family, but go ahead and take that position, because now you're going to make a lot more money. The voice of opportunity sometimes distracts and derails us. As a church, we always got to say, what opportunity are you calling us to invest in, Jesus? Who are you calling us to invest in? Not just good opportunities, but what is what you are calling us to invest in today? And here's what, finally, we're going to wrap up here, guys, because I know you guys are excited to eat some hot dogs. It says in verse 40, and after they put them all out, Jesus had to kick them out, right? Sometimes we got to kick out those voices. We got to block some phones. We got to block some people out of our life. The voices that are always kind of complaining. We got to hear the voice of Jesus. So he kicks them out. And you know who he brings with him? His crowd, his crew, the group he prays with. God speaks through a community of people, and that's why you need community. If you're alone, you're going to get picked off pretty quick. You need a community that's praying with me in the back and saying, hey, you got it. I'm like, I don't think I got it. They're like, well, Jesus has got it. Good, because I don't have it. We need a community of people that are around us. Otherwise, we get picked off. So Jesus brings his community in, and only them. And when they took him and the mother and all that kind of stuff, they came in with him. And verse 41, he took them by the hand and said to this little girl, wake up. Wake up. This girl was just sleeping. Jesus entered the room. Why all the crying? Because I'm here. Wake up. Jesus wants to tell some of us today to wake up. It's time to get up. God wants to revive a relationship with somebody here today. God wants to revive some people here today. He wants to revive a church. He wants to revive this nation if they're willing. He wants to revive some people here. He's going to do it through miracles too. He did this miracle today. He healed this little girl, and you know what she did? It's the most important thing, as she responded when Jesus called her voice. Are you going to respond to Jesus' voice today? He says, I want to draw you in close to me to revive a relationship. I want to revive a spirit of peace in you. I want to revive some direction in here. And finally, number four, for somebody here, I want to revive your faith. Maybe your faith has been teetering, but Jesus wants to revive you today in these four areas, and he's going to do it. But are we going to have faith today? Are we going to come when Jesus is calling? Is he speaking to you today? Is he saying, come follow me? As the band comes up here and we wrap this thing up, get your selfie with God. I remember I was probably about 4 years old, and my parents took off. I have an older sister who's 2 years older than me and a brother that's 2 years younger than me, and my parents take off for the night, and they get us some babysitters, two girls that are babysitting. I don't know how old they were, but they were old enough to babysit us. And I'm just going to put this out there. I was a handful. I wasn't a victim. I was a handful. I'll be honest. I'll pin it on myself. I was a handful as a kid. And I don't know what we were doing, my sister and I, but we were doing something. And we were messing around. We were, whatever we did, we made them mad. And I remember they took my sister and they picked her up, and we had a ceiling fan, and they tried to stick her hand in the ceiling fan. So I pick up my He-Man sword. And with the power of Grayskull, I hit her as hard as I can. Nobody knows about the power of Grayskull. Yeah, I am He-Man, right? So I'm like 4 years old, and I whack her in the back of the legs, and the other one grabs me, and I start screaming, and she drags me up the steps, and I'm screaming, I'm holding on the rail, and I'm just trying to hold on for dear life. And the power of Grayskull did not work. But she's dragging me up the stairs, and I'm scared now. I'm crying. I don't know what's going to happen to my sister. They take me up, and they threw me in my room, turned off the light, closed the door, and I was scared of the dark, and I was just four. Yeah. Freddy Krueger was going to get me. 80s babies. But I was afraid. I was alone. I was in a dark spot. All I could hear was my fears. All I could hear is my worry. All I could hear is myself crying. And all of a sudden, I heard my dad's voice say, "Caleb, come to me." And I was like, that doesn't even make sense. The Bible sometimes tells us that the peace of God, without any understanding, shows up. I ran out of my room so fast. I ran across the hall. I saw my dad in his bed. I leaped in the bed, and he said, "Are you okay?" I crawled up next to him and fell asleep in peace. Do we hear the voice of Jesus when he's calling us in the most fear, dark moments spiritually? The crowded moments when all you can hear is your fear, your worries, your doubt. Today, Jesus is calling. If you'll stand with me, are you willing to receive him? Jesus is calling today. Go ahead and stand with me as we're gonna pray. We're going to worship. And as the band plays, I just kind of want to invite you with me. Is Jesus calling you this morning? Is he calling you to a relationship, a reviving relationship that you said has been kind of teetering? Is he calling you today to revive a spirit inside of you that you just have lost? You've been dealing and battling with a lot of different things, and you just need the spirit of peace in your soul today. Or maybe today, for somebody that I'm speaking to, that maybe it's just you need a spirit of direction. And God, I don't know the direction I'm going into. But the closer I get to you, the clearer your voice gets. And I need to get to that place. And if it's for some of you today, I just need the Lord to revive my spirit. But is Jesus saying, come today? Come today. Let's worship and we're going to pray. Take these few moments to just open up your heart, your mind, and say, is the Lord calling you today? And if he is, come join me. This week I needed the Lord to speak to my peace. And that was me. Come join me if he is. Be like Jairus. Open up your hands. Receive him today. Don't let position or pride or anything hold you back. You hear from Jesus. We're going to worship and take advantage of the altars today. Take advantage of praying, and if you don't want to leave your altar, pray with somebody next to you. Let's just hear from Jesus right now. Eyes are bowed, or your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, you just want to raise your hand this morning. Just raise your hand if that's one of you. If you just need Jesus, just raise your hand today. Amen. If you just need Jesus in these areas of your life today, just go ahead and raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Just hear the Lord right now. Amen. Open up. Father, Jesus, you touched this little girl and she was awake. Touch our souls today, awaken us up, Lord. in the midst of the crowds that we have, that we trust you. Father, I pray for those that have raised their hand today and just said, Lord, just speak into my spirit that I could have a relationship. The most important thing is that I have a relationship. So wake me up, Lord. So I follow you in your direction. I can follow your spirit and put peace into my spirit. Help me in faith, Lord, because you want to speak. Help me listen, Lord. Speak to me on the beach, in the crowds. Help me tune my hearing in so I can hear from you today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here this morning. Thank you for providing your spirit that I can't do, but only you can do. Thank you for your power. Thank you for saving us and dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for giving us hope, giving us life. You are a powerful Jesus. Thank you so much. If I could speak it in Spanish, I would. But Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can be more like Jairus, that we can fall at your feet, that we can trust you, that you'll go with us even in the delays and the detours, that you're there with us, and that we can wait patiently, and we can expect it when you say you are, that you are going to do these things, because you are the great I am. And so, Father, I just pray. I pray, Lord, and I thank you that we will respond when you are speaking. And it is in your heavenly name I pray. Amen. Let's worship. Thank you, band.